Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You're Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Danny Lurie, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. On this Sunday night, Monday morning, I wanted to kind of cover two different things. First is a little brief recap of Spurs Warriors, the backup rest bowl, as I'm kind of calling it, rest fest. And Spurs ended up winning, going away, 107-85. The Warriors' biggest takeaway beyond the Spurs backups being better than theirs is Ian Clark had a really wonderful game, 36 points, 15 of 21 from the field, actually got to the line six times, and he can be an offensive engine for this team. The Warriors don't really need that very often, especially considering the stagger that they're doing right now with Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala playing together on that second unit, but I think Clark has a part to play in that, and maybe even during this stretch could facilitate some changing around or trying some different things with their rotations, because the Warriors are very good when Curry and Draymond Green play together. Maybe you actually turn that a little bit, play them together a little bit more, have Green in a different role. They should just try out different things as they're going through this, because that second unit isn't really putting it together. Clark is an interesting option there, just something to consider as they move these things around. And maybe even the Clark-Klay Thompson combination that I've actually really liked, just intellectually. We haven't gotten to see it very much over the course of this part of the season. So a couple of different options there. I talked about this. You can check out my work for The Athletic, both the Every Player, which is on the app, and my game analysis. I talked about Clark, and then the biggest concern for me was Kevon Looney. Looney played 20 minutes, actually 17, off, you know, in the starting lineup originally, and then kind of bounced around in the rotation. And my concern with him is that in today's world, a big man, unless they're really good at something else, either needs to be able to protect the rim, switch, or be able to stretch the floor by shooting. And at this moment in time, Looney doesn't really do any of those. I think switching is probably the best chance, but considering he has trouble with pick and pop fours, power forwards, that can be a little bit of an issue. And in order to be a part of the Warriors rotation, he's probably going to need to do that, especially considering at this moment, the Warriors do not have any real stretch fives. David West's jump shot comes and goes, and the West-Looney combination isn't good enough defensively to really justify it. And also, David West probably, you know, there's a very real chance he's not going to be on the team next year. So we'll have to really see how that works out. But one of the Warriors' goals for this offseason has to be evaluating Looney and Damian Jones. I mean, you'd love to have this information before that, but ideally one or more of them can get at least low-end rotation minutes, because otherwise you're relying a lot on minimum salary guys. They can use the taxpayer mid-level exception on one of those, but if Sean Livingston or Iguodala or both leave, they're going to have a lot of other needs as well. So the hope is that while McCall looks like can get into a rotation spot, that at least one of those other guys could, and we'll have to see. I thought Damian Jones looked more comfortable on the court in this game than his other ones, but he certainly wasn't dominant. It was nice to see him get three offensive rebounds, but other than that, he wasn't really dominant. So not a ton that you want to take away from this game. Spurs got better looks, but that's not a surprise. They have a system. They execute it really well. A lot of the players that they put out there have a pretty consistent role and a part in their success. So I wouldn't read too much into this, but it is what it is. And the other big topic that I wanted to talk about, and I actually have a piece that I haven't started writing yet, but will for The Athletic, it'll probably come out on Monday at some point, depending on when I get the chance to write it, is the case for Omri Caspi. So this is based on a very specific premise, and that is that Matt Barnes was a very intelligent, proactive signing, well, proactive might be strong, for the situation that presented itself when Kevin Durant got hurt. They needed somebody like Matt Barnes to occupy those minutes, ideally play a little bit of small forward and a little bit of power forward defensively, ideally hit open threes. And with Durant out, that is a niche that they absolutely need filled. At moments, it's Barnes. At moments, it's Patrick McCaw. And of course, Andre Iguodala has his spot, but they needed more minutes than that. So that is a clear-cut issue right now that Matt Barnes is doing a nice job of filling. However, if Kevin Durant comes back, and if Kevin Durant doesn't come back, the Warriors have much bigger issues. But if Kevin Durant comes back, that comes off the board. And so you want to think about what the Warriors need as a potential piece in a playoff rotation. And you can go best player available if you want to think that way. But for me, it's also about trying to fill a niche that you don't have with any of your existing talent. And Omri Caspi certainly qualifies for that. Caspi is a forward, kind of a hybrid guy, one of those players who can defend either forward position, but isn't particularly great at defending either forward position. And that can actually work with the Warriors personnel, because Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green can make that work. Kevin Durant can make that work. And what Caspi can do is he can make open shots. And that part of Matt Barnes' job description, that part of Harrison Barnes' job description, is something Caspi can do better than either of those guys. Caspi has made over 40% of his threes the last two full seasons. And this year, he's at 39.4. Despite having a weird role with the Sacramento Kings this year, that whole team was just kind of a mess. And I remember after that crazy game that Caspi had, I believe that was last year at Oracle, where he and Steph Curry were trading baskets. I went into the Kings locker room after that game and asked Caspi a very direct question, which was, where do you feel comfortable taking shots? And what he said was, if I have my feet set and I'm inside the half court line, I can do it. And Nate Duncan and I did the Twitter NBA show today, and something that Houston has done well and the Warriors have done well, but really just Steph and Klay, is having players who can space the floor by shooting beyond the three-point line, you know, 2, 3, 4 feet out. And Caspi can do that as well, which would be a huge piece for them, both in terms of trail, but also just in terms of their offense. And while Caspi would not play probably too many minutes because they wouldn't need him to, he adds a different element that they do not have right now from that extra forward spot. And there are various lineup combinations that you could get into. And another reason why Caspi would be a great signing for the Warriors is that he fits in with the way the rotation is going to look in the playoffs. So the biggest change, other than giving the starters more minutes, is that Draymond should be playing more at center. And playing Draymond more at center means you are squeezing out the minutes for other true centers, for Zaza Pachulia, for JaVale McGee, and depending on how they see David West. And doing that and moving sliding some of Draymond's minutes means that they need another forward. And that player is much better off if they can space the floor. And Iguodala will certainly get some of those minutes. Klay and, you know, Durant, when he gets back, can scale up a little bit. But Caspi will fill another role that the Warriors are very comfortable with. He can shoot corner threes. He can shoot above the break. He can defend with intensity, especially if you give him a lighter minutes load. This year, he's playing about 18 minutes a game, but he's done, you know, starter minutes, 27 last year for Sacramento, when he had a much better role, ideally with George, when George Karl was coaching, but he bounced around a little bit. And he can do that. The reason he got cut by the New Orleans Pelicans was because he broke his thumb and they felt like they needed somebody right away. I think that was a short-sighted move by them. Mark Stein had a report over the weekend that Caspi is getting closer to coming back. So the timeline for me would be, if I were the Warriors, I would reach out to Caspi basically right away with the understanding that they can't really add him right now, but the Warriors actually now have credibility to make this argument because it's exactly what they did with Jose Calderon. With Jose Calderon, they made him whole. They made a promise. They paid him his money. They gave him his contract. The Warriors actually got out of that because Atlanta claimed him off waivers, but the Warriors fulfilled that promise. And so that should give Caspi and his agent the trust that they can do it. And also, he fills a need for them. The Warriors are in a tough spot with some other guys. You could think about Deron Williams. Like, if they couldn't have really gotten in the Deron Williams derby because Stephen Curry and Sean Livingston occupy that role. So they couldn't have said, hey, we have minutes for you if you come in. The Warriors need another forward who can shoot. It's not going to be a huge role, but it could be a small, reliable one. A great way for Caspi to build his reputation, considering even if he comes back, let's say 2 weeks from now, there's not really enough time in the regular season for him to rehabilitate his value in full. So the best way for him to do so, when he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, nobody's going to have bird rights on him, is to go to a team that's going to have a long playoff run and has a need for him. So the Warriors are a great fit there for him to make that decision. And as I said, they have a spot for him that makes intuitive sense. And while other players, you know, there's a big adjustment period. I think we've seen that a little bit with Matt Barnes, just knowing where to be and what to do. If they want to, they could slot Caspi in basically the Harrison Barnes role. And mostly that would be him occupying in the corners, defending with intensity. He's obviously not the defender that Barnes was last year, but he can fill that basic role. And then if after a round or two of the playoffs, depending on when he's ready to come back, they can bring him in, then you can start to get things more complicated. I think one of the ideals with him would actually be setting some screens. He's not the greatest screen setter in the world, but if that draws a switch, kind of like what Durant does at different moments, you can force teams into other awkward circumstances, because if he can pick and pop to 3 feet behind the three-point line, then you're pulling guys out. You can do a lot of different things, and it makes more real estate. And if the Warriors draw a trap, if they set that and the Warriors and they want to make sure Steph Curry doesn't take that shot, especially if his jumper comes back, then if he can, either by somebody else coming up to help out, if they can get that ball to Caspi or somebody else, they can really make it work. And the timeline here is reasonable. It gets a little bit challenging because we don't know exactly when Kevin Durant's going to be back. Let's say he is theoretically active a week before the end of the regular season. You probably want to keep Matt Barnes on until you know Durant is at least at 80 or 90%, just as the kind of fail-safe in that, because if Durant was hurt, Barnes probably fills a greater role. But if they have confidence in it, if they have a better sense of his process, maybe they shift it around a little bit. And the other reason why the Warriors should seriously consider this is cost, because Caspi would not be particularly expensive. He would make the veterans minimum, for prorated for the amount of time that he's on the team. The Warriors are not a luxury tax team this year. That was one of the benefits of getting Kevin Durant using cap space, is that there was no reasonable way for them to get over the luxury tax line. They could have been cycling guys through this entire time on 10-day contracts on various things, and they wouldn't have even gotten close to the line. So they don't have a big deal there. They don't have any other exceptions or anything they can use. So they have a take it or leave it number for Omri Caspi at that point, and there aren't really going to be any better offers that I can think of on the table, especially with the potential playing time that could come with it. So the timing is a little bit shaky, just because they don't know exactly when Durant's going to come back, but there are very, very, very few players that are out on the market now that are playoff eligible, because Caspi is playoff eligible. He got cut by New Orleans before the March 1st deadline. And it doesn't matter when a guy signs, it matters when he's cut. So he is eligible. That could really move the needle for the Warriors. Somebody who could maybe not get a rotation spot, but who would be worthy of at least spot minutes in the playoffs. And if Caspi really enjoys it, I think he can get paid a lot more than this. I'm a big fan of him. Who knows? Maybe he would enjoy coming back enough to consider either a minimum or part of the mid-level exception for next year. They will have the taxpayer mid-level. I don't know the exact number, but I think it's somewhere around $5.8 million. So we'll see what happens there. But the issue for him would be more rehabilitating his value. He's been chronically underutilized, chronically underpaid, in my opinion, over the course of his career, considering what he can do well. And one other interesting element for Caspi is he's a great shooter, but he's not a great free throw shooter. He's been in the high 60s for most of his career, was in the low 70s that second to last full year in Sacramento, 2014-15. So not like he's that lockdown guy you want to sub in the last possession of the game, you know, just an extra guy outside of Curry and Durant who can get the free throws in case somebody, those guys get doubled or something like that. He's not perfect in that role, but he would be, you know, you can consider having him on the floor. So it's not life or death. It's not the most important part of the Warriors. I mean, Kevin Durant returning is obviously a far, far greater deal, but I could see Caspi's presence, especially later on, actually making a meaningful difference. And as I said earlier, there aren't that many players that are available, that are playoff eligible, that qualify. And I don't think Matt Barnes is one of them. So if they could do that with Omri Caspi, absolutely. Oh, and one other point, this will be in the piece, just because it was a part of my original concept that I forgot to mention until now, is that early in the season, and especially now, there was a logic for having the extra roster spot be a point guard, because the Warriors need that in garbage time. You know, it'd be great to not put Miles on Sean Livingston. I was a little bit uncomfortable that he played 28 minutes, I think it was, in the first three quarters of that game against the Spurs, especially in a game that was absolutely a blowout for, you know, when it got out of hand, I think it was like mid-second quarter, and they just didn't have other guys. But once the Warriors reach the playoffs, that becomes a smaller issue, assuming Curry and Livingston are healthy. Now, if a parallel to last year happens and Curry gets hurt or Livingston gets hurt, then they have a greater need at point guard. But at that point, you cross that bridge. And the longer they wait and they're still healthy, the less likely it is that they are going to need that spot, which is actually one of the reasons why I was supportive, broadly speaking, of them going in a direction other than getting Jose Calderon. And they could always make the cycle move that they ended up doing before Calderon formally joined the team. So we will see what they do. I hope that there are Caspi supporters in the Warriors front office. It would make sense that there would be. And if they do, it would be a value-added move that teams generally don't have the ability to do, because players as good as Omri Caspi don't hit the market. And the reason he did is because New Orleans was desperate to win now, and none of the other teams were really proactive enough to claim him off waivers. A team absolutely should have considered doing that as well, and their loss is potentially the Warriors' gain. So we'll see if it actually happens. I do think there is a non-zero chance of it happening, which is kind of fun, but we will have to see moving forward. I will, of course, have another podcast tomorrow. Might be a mailbag. I haven't decided yet exactly. And then games this week, Tuesday, Thursday. So Wednesday morning, Friday morning will be post-game podcast, something else on Thursday morning. Don't know exactly what yet. And then those games are against Philly and Orlando. And then there's Milwaukee, the biggest game of those three, on Saturday. I'll probably do something on that just because I usually can't help myself other than the just gross game that was yesterday, and I decided to pull back a little bit. So hope you enjoyed something a little bit different. There will be a piece for this on The Athletic, probably at some point on Monday, assuming I have the time to put it together. And it's a possibility. I actually was a little bit mad that Mark Stein got the report out there, because I'd been planning this piece for about a week and a half about the idea of doing it, and then Stein's thing on Friday. I'm like, oh, I guess I have to make sure that I do this on Sunday night, Monday morning, because it's going to start to become more of a thing. So we will see moving forward. As always, any feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, DannyLarueNBA@gmail.com, @DannyLarue on Twitter. I read everything. If you take the time to write it, I respond to what I can. That is not my promise. If you want to support the show, there are a lot of different ways you can do it. You can subscribe, download every episode, even if you don't listen. I hope you do listen, but even if you don't, leave a rating, leave a review in the podcast player of your choosing. Great if it's iTunes, doesn't have to be. It's whatever you really use. And then tell your friends, tell people on the internet, tell people that if you think that they will enjoy it, I really do appreciate that. It's a great way of building word of mouth. I deeply appreciate the people that I see doing it, but you don't have to tag me if you don't want to, whatever makes you happy. And also you can check out the podcast I did with Nathaniel Friedman of Free Darko, Bethlehem Shoals there. We talked a lot about the Warriors, both their present and their past. We talked about We Believe. We talked about Run TMC. We talked about the current team. And then I'm going to release a podcast this week with Arturo Galletti, Basketball Numbers. And we did over-unders before the year, Eastern Conference, Western Conference. That is Real Jam Radio this week. It will be released in two separate pieces. Probably East first, then West. So I'd guess the West will be out whenever I edit it. So probably around Thursday. We'll see when that gets done. But a really fun one. We already recorded. It was like 3 hours long. So that's why it's going to be split in two. So that's enough rambling for right now. Thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.